Welcome to the Small Business Commission meeting on January 27th, 2025. The meeting is being called to order at 4:31 p.m. This meeting is being held in person in City Hall, Room 400, and broadcast live on SFGov TV. The Small Business Commission thanks Media Services and SFGov TV for televising the meeting, which can be viewed on SFGov TV 2 or live streamed at sfgovtv.org. We welcome general public comment at the end of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Public comment during the meeting is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. An alarm will sound once time has finished. Speakers are requested but not required to state their names. SFGov TV, please show the Office of Small Business slide.
Today we will begin with a reminder that the Small Business Commission is the official public forum to voice your opinions and concerns about policies that affect the economic vitality of small businesses in San Francisco. Please call item one.
Item one, roll call. Commissioner Benitez?
Present.
Commissioner Cornett?
Present.
Commissioner Dickerson?
Present.
Commissioner Herbert is absent. President Huey?
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena is absent. Vice President Zazunas?
Present.
President, you have a quorum.
Thank you. The San Francisco Small Business Commission and Office of Small Business staff acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Please call item two.
Item two, approval of legacy business registry applications and resolutions. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and possibly take action to approve legacy business registry applications. Presenting today is Richard Carrillo, Legacy Business Program Manager with the Office of Small Business.
Good afternoon, President Huey, Vice President Zazunas, commissioners, city staff, members of the public. I'm Richard Carrillo, Legacy Business Program Manager. I would like to acknowledge Michelle Reynolds, my colleague in the Office of Small Business, who provides beneficial assistance to the Legacy Business Program. SFGov TV, I have a PowerPoint presentation. Before you today are four applications for your consideration for the Legacy Business Registry. Each application includes a staff report, a draft resolution, the application itself, and documents from the Planning Department. The applications were submitted to planning on December 18th and heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on January 15th. Item 2A is Cha Cha Cha. The business is a restaurant in the Haight-Ashbury and Mission neighborhoods that was established in 1984. They offer Caribbean tapas, world-famous sangria, local beers, craft cocktails, entertainment, and catering, and they have a great venue for events. Cha-Cha-Cha creates a unique Caribbean-inspired atmosphere, providing their patrons with a restaurant experience that feels more like a tropical escape. The Mission location has a rich history independent of Cha-Cha-Cha. It was an Irish restaurant and pub called Original McCarthy's that was founded by Irish immigrant Dennis McCarthy. Dennis was one of the first businessmen to begin legally serving alcohol after Prohibition ended in 1933. To recognize the legacy of the Mission location, it is sometimes referred to as Cha-Cha-Cha at Original McCarthy's. The core feature tradition the business must maintain to remain on the Legacy Business Registry is restaurant featuring Caribbean cuisine. Item 2B is City Optics. The business, founded by Dr. Jeffrey Rich in 1988, is the preeminent optometrist office located in the Marina and Cow Hollow neighborhoods. City Optics carries a wide range of high fashion frames from the best designers in the industry, including prescription glasses and sunglasses. Their experienced optometrists are on hand to assist clients with comprehensive eye care services and high quality eye exams. They emphasize personalized customer service, blending medical expertise with fashionable eyewear to meet the specific needs of their clients. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is optometry. Item 2C is Golden Gate Park Band. The organization was founded in September 1882. The Golden Gate Park Band provides free concerts to the people of San Francisco in the Spreckles Temple of Music at the Music Concourse in Golden Gate Park. They offer classical band favorites, operas, marches, Broadway show tunes, orchestral transcriptions, novelty tunes, folk music, big band swing music, and original works for concert band. Throughout the season, the band features soloists from within its membership as well as guest artists. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is music. Item 2D is San Francisco Flower Market. The business, established in 1912, is the largest wholesale flower market in Northern California with products coming from all over the world. It was founded by two immigrant groups, the Italian-American San Francisco Flower Growers Association and the Japanese-American California Flower Market, Inc., both of which played pivotal roles in shaping the market's legacy. San Francisco Flower Market's esteemed vendors, with years of dedicated partnership, bring unique expertise to the marketplace and offer a global array of cut flowers, potted plants, blooming plants, and floral supplies. Just this month, the San Francisco Flower Market moved to a state-of-the-art facility at 901 16th Street in Potrero Hill. The core feature tradition the business must maintain to remain on the Legacy Business Registry is distributor of flowers and plants. All of the businesses met the three criteria required for listing on the Legacy Business Registry, and all have received a positive recommendation from the Historic Preservation Commission. Legacy Business Program staff recommends adding the businesses to the registry and has drafted a resolution for each business for your consideration. A motion in support of the businesses should be framed as a motion in favor of the resolutions. Thank you. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions, and there are business representatives present who may wish to speak on behalf of their applications during public comment.
Thank you very much, Rick. Anybody, any commissioners have any questions at this point? No questions. I'd like to open it up for public comment. Is anyone present for public comment?
You can line up if you want to my left, your right, or just come forward.
Hello, commissioners. I have here a binder with publications regarding Cha-Cha-Cha that goes back to 1985. I thought you guys might enjoy taking a look at it.
Oh, wow. How often do you take that out?
Just at the last hearing that we had to come to, like 2 weeks ago. All right, so I'm here to speak about the inclusion of Cha-Cha-Cha into the Legacy Business Registry. Cha-Cha-Cha was started by my father, Philip Belber, and his business partner, Leon Pack, in 1984. Originally, he started it to bring Puerto Rican and Cuban food that he had grown up eating in New York to San Francisco. But eventually, it evolved into a tapas hotspot with long lines, loud music, and flowing sangria. I began working at Cha-Cha-Cha around 15 years ago during the summers off from high school. And until then, it was just the restaurant I grew up in. It wasn't until I started working there that I realized how renowned it really was. My teachers all ate there. My friends' parents all ate there. I waited on my childhood crush, Kelly Kapowski, from Saved by the Bell. It became clear to me that I was not just working at my family's restaurant, but rather I was part of a San Francisco institution. A lot of the people who were working there at that time, the ones who showed me the ropes of the restaurant industry, are still there to this day. The chefs have been there for decades, the bartenders as well. There's a host who's been working Thursday nights there for about 30 years. Cha-Cha-Cha has hosted politicians and celebrities. Mayor Frank Jordan had his birthday there in the 90s, and has been recognized in local, national, and international publications. But to me, that's not what makes it historic. It's the fact that residents of San Francisco have been eating there for over four decades. Parents who used to eat there with their children now visit with their grandchildren and enjoy the same Cajun shrimp dish they had 20 years before. I'm extremely proud of what my father's built and how Cha-Cha-Cha has persevered. I'm also very happy with how the new owner, Oz, has honored the history of the restaurant while also working hard to continue its legacy. I think we all know how hard the restaurant business is in this city, and the fact that Cha-Cha-Cha has had continued success for over 40 years solidifies it as part of San Francisco's history and deserving of legacy business status. Thank you very much. And this is Oz. He's going to say a few words. He's the new owner here.
Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Honor Özkaynak, owner of Cha-Cha-Cha. I'm here to celebrate Cha-Cha-Cha, a cherished San Francisco institution that has enriched our city's cultural fabric for over four decades. What sets Cha-Cha-Cha apart is its resilience. In a constantly evolving city, it has weathered challenges and remains steadfast. After temporarily closing in 2022, the Mission location reopened in 2023, symbolizing the restaurant's enduring commitment to the community and its role in revitalizing the neighborhood. Cha-Cha-Cha is more than a restaurant. It's a cultural landmark. For decades, it has brought people together for celebrations, first dates, and family gatherings, all while championing local artists and musicians. Its signature sangria, jerk chicken, and plantains have become icons of San Francisco's diverse culinary scene. Recognized by outlets like the San Francisco Chronicle, Rolling Stone, and Sunset Magazine, Cha-Cha-Cha has earned praise for its bold flavors and welcoming ambience. Cha-Cha-Cha's significance aligns perfectly with the Legacy Business Registry criteria. It has operated in San Francisco for over 40 years, contributing to the city's identity. Preserved the traditions and spirit of the Haight and Mission districts, fostered creativity and inclusivity for generations. By recognizing Cha-Cha-Cha as a legacy business, we honor its rich history and ensure its future as a beacon of San Francisco's culture. Let's preserve this vibrant piece of our city's story. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Vance Yoshida, and I serve as the president of the California Flower Market, LLC, which was the previous owner of the San Francisco Flower Mart. I also serve on the board of the San Francisco Flower Mart's new nonprofit corporation. My grandparents, who immigrated from Japan, had a nursery in Oakland, and they sold their flowers at the San Francisco Flower Mart when it was at Fifth and Mission in the early 1900s. When my father and his two brothers took over the business, they continued to sell their flowers at the Flower Mart. From the time I was 8 years old, I remember going to the Flower Mart at 1 a.m. with my father and with my uncles. The Flower Market continues to be a place for many first-generation families from all over the world to start their business and thrive. All of the Flower Market's current tenants are family-owned businesses, and many of the owners are first-generation or children of immigrants. I urge you to give the Flower Market legacy status so it can continue to help many first-generation families and the flower industry in Northern California to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Rose Robinson, and I've been working at the San Francisco Flower Mart for nearly 30 years. And in this time, I've met many small business owners. Some of them have been second and third generation flower growers, flower wholesalers, and florists. This community has deep roots in the Bay Area. Over a century ago, Italian immigrants, Chinese immigrants, and Japanese immigrants gathered at Lotus Fountain to sell their blooms. And then, together, they formed a partnership that became the first flower market. And these families didn't just do business together. They helped each other, like in World War II when the Japanese weren't in internment camps. It was the Italians who took care of their farms for them. And you know, when the war ended, these communities kept thriving. They grew a flower market into one of the oldest and largest flower markets in the United States. They've brought a lot of jobs to the area, but it's not just jobs, it's a heritage. It's a heritage that we don't want to see lost because it means something to work with flowers. You can't get flowers just like that on Amazon. Somebody has to grow them, they cut them, they design them, and that's not something we want to lose. We don't want to lose the tradition or the history. Our market is a cultural and economic cornerstone that serves over 4,500 small businesses. It provides jobs for 250 workers and fosters community events like Tulip Days in Union Square. Generations of San Franciscans have relied on the flower market to sustain their businesses, celebrate life's milestones, and beautify our city. Flowers bring pleasure to so many people. They brighten our lives. And the businesses, the small businesses who toil day to day, make a lot of sacrifices to do this. They get up early, they weather the seasons, and they're here doing business on holidays when the rest of us are enjoying the holiday. As one of the last wholesale flower markets of its kind, our designation as a legacy business is not just about preserving our history. It's about honoring the contributions of immigrant families, small businesses, and workers who have shaped San Francisco's unique character. Time? Can I keep going? Oh. This designation ensures that our story, rooted in resilience and community, continues to inspire future generations. I've stayed at the flower market for almost 30 years because I thrive in this community. I know the people. They are my community. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commission. I'd first like to say thank you to Rick because he really helped us get our application together and did a fabulous presentation. My name is Jeannie Taggart-Bose. I'm the executive director of the San Francisco Flower Market, and it's an honor to stand here before you as we started to celebrate our 113th year in San Francisco in a brand new home in Potrero Hill. For more than a century, the flower market has been a cornerstone of our city, a place where growers, florists, grocers, interior decorators, and event designers have come together with the beauty of flowers. Today, our vendors compete on a global scale, navigating intense challenges from internal disruptors and online marketplaces. Despite their pressures, they continue to innovate and adapt, all while preserving the community spirit that defines the market. Now managed by SF Flower Market, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit and a proud supporting organization to the San Francisco Wholesale Produce Market, we are deeply committed to sustaining Northern California's floral agriculture community. We're supporting our small businesses that are our vendors and fostering educational connections. Legacy business designation is not just an honor, it's an essential. It will enable us to provide for our 22-plus vendors, safeguard livelihoods of over 250 blue-collar workers, and maintain affordability and vibrancy of this cherished institution. The San Francisco Flower Market is more than a business. It's a living legacy. Flowers do more than brighten places. They brighten lives. Scientifically proven to boost dopamine, flowers bring joy. They reduce stress. They connect us to all. As Supervisor Aaron Peskin so beautifully said recently, San Francisco's flower market is as quintessentially San Francisco as its cable cars and the Golden Gate Bridge. With your support, we can ensure this historic institution continues to thrive, providing opportunity and inspiration to our city while helping our vendors overcome the immense challenges of a global market.
Together we can carry the legacy forward and secure its place as a vital part of San Francisco for generations to come. I thank you for your consideration of legacy status.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing no further public comment, public comment is closed. And any commissioners like to make comment? Commissioner Dickerson?
First of all, thank you so much for bringing, I know the gentleman left, the Cha-Cha-Cha's history. That was great to look at. There's some real heritage there. Wow. So that was wonderful. That was a great experience. What do you say about the flower market? Like, I remember in 1992 when I was getting ready to get married, my mom was like, we got to go to the flower market. I have six sisters. We all came to the flower market. Like, when I think about the flower market, I think about every single person that I know that has gotten married. It doesn't matter where they live in California. They came to the flower market. So I say that to say I am just so grateful to, first of all, it's an honor to meet every single one of you who have put so much hard work. I could only imagine what that is like to handle such there's so much involved in that. So I just want to say, more than anything, thank you so much for being a part of so many people's lives. I don't think you all really realize how many lives are impacted by having that space and the opportunity to go and literally create dreams and visions and memories that last forever with this space that you all have diligently provided for the city. I definitely agree with Peskin for that one. So I thank you so much. And I just appreciate every single one of you have put so much work into your businesses, all of the businesses. So thank you. It's an honor.
Thank you, Commissioner Benitez.
Well, thank you again, just to ride on the coattails of Commissioner Dickerson. Amazing presentations and love to hear the stories. With Cha-Cha-Cha, I've got many a memory. We could be here for another 5 hours if we needed to. No, I'm just kidding. But many a celebration, many a birthday, many a job promotion, many a spilled sangria. But it was so much fun, and that place is still such a great time that I send friends and family who come to visit to both locations. So such a wonderful place to create such memories. And I loved hearing that. It's so generational too. So fun to see that families upon families continue to go there. And the chicken pie art and the chicken wings and the calamari. There's our go-to. Little tapas there. Love it. In addition to the flower market, same thing. We send friends and family. You know, we want to go to Fisherman's Wharf. We want to go to Golden Gate Park. Well, they also make sure that the flower market is also on their itinerary. And just love to hear the stories. You said something about brightening places and brightening lives. And I just wanted to add to that, one of the things that, a quote that I live by is like, we have a store. We used to have two stores. But one of the things that I always like to say is that we don't build stores, we build stories. And I think what you do at the flower market and just what we were talking about families going through and generations of, whether it be weddings and birthdays and, you know, just event, you know, life events that people go there for. I think it's wonderful that you continue to serve San Francisco and keep doing what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Ortiz Carteño.
Thank you. Cha-cha-chas, I shouldn't even tell all the stories that's happened there. Like, let's start with there. But you're an institution. You brought cuisine. You were always welcoming to whatever walk of life. And I always hold you special. You know, it's like I've grown up with Cha-cha-chas. So I appreciate. I didn't have kids before I used to go. Now I have kids. And I'll probably be a grandpa one day. And we'll be at Cha-Cha-Cha's. To the Flower Mart, I want to give a special out to our former commissioner, Kathleen Dooley. You know, may she be looking at us. And I'm so honored, and this is like a privilege, that I'm part of this moment. something. Yeah, you're a steward of San Francisco. Like it's something special. You're in all spectrums of life, whether it's a birthday, a wedding, and even funerals. Like, and you support economies from Monterey to Half Moon Bay, and I feel honored today. It's something special, and you're stewards of something that is San Francisco to its core, and feel honored, and we feel privileged. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornett.
First, I want to start off by congratulating you guys. This is huge, and I hope you are all proud of yourselves. It's so inspirational to see the strength that you guys bring to today, but also like with the different generations that you've touched and lives you've changed, and I think that's very, very important, very empowering, actually. The Flower Mart, that's where I get my lilies all the time, and they make me smile every morning. And cha-cha-cha, I've had some nights I remember, some nights I don't. But the best sangria. So congratulations again, and thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your passions, and also inspiring us.
Thank you. Vice President Zizounis.
Thank you, everybody, for coming, and thank you, Richard, for preparing our legacy businesses so well. Congratulations on all your years of service, and thank you for your dedication to this city. As a South of Market girl myself, my family's business, Ted's Market, so I definitely grew up going to the Flower Market, and it was a staple of our the B2B environment in South of Market. And thank you for speaking to your history. I think it's so important to mention communities in struggle and how they come out with mutual aid to each other, and then that creates enterprise, and that's really the story of small business. So thank you for speaking to that, and look forward to voting on all of you. Oh, and I would love to dedicate this vote to former Commissioner Kathleen Dooley, who we went to her services at her memorial at the Flower Market, and she made it her mission to make sure you all sustained. So that would be my motion.
Can I ask the second?
I'm going to say one more thing before we vote. No, that's okay. I just wanted to congratulate all of you. I think all of the commissioners have really well encapsulated many of the things that I was, that I was feeling while listening to your presentations. And, I just wanted to kind of, notice out loud the passion and the commitment that you all have made for like what you do every day, which is really so interesting to me, because I think a lot of young people, a lot of people in general, are kind of asking these big questions like, how do I make the world better? What do I do? How do we save things? Like, how do we do, how do we change things, right? And I think the answer sometimes is by just doing the thing that you're passionate about and digging into that thing, creating that scrapbook for cha-cha-chas, over time, like creating places that people experience joy and like making friends around that. I feel like those kinds of things, what you've done is essentially answered many of those big questions by just being yourself and being authentic to the thing that matters to you most. And I couldn't, congratulate you more, but I would love to amplify, this act of just being yourselves and being an amazing legacy business for the city. And, I commit that, as a commission, I will continue to think about how the legacy business says like fit into all of what we do. You're such an important part of now you're part of, you will hopefully after this vote, be a part of a longstanding club of people who have really committed themselves to San Francisco. And I think it's a very unique part of our city and our community. And so, yeah, I would love to amplify all the things that you do all the just on a daily basis. So thank you very much. I think we had a motion as well as a second already. Can we preserve those? And
motion by Commissioner Zunis. Who was the second?
I think Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena.
Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena, thank you. I will read the roll. This is a motion in support of the resolutions. Commissioner Benitez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cornett?
That's right.
Yes.
Commissioner Dickerson?
That's right. Yes.
Commissioner Herbert's absent. President Huey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena?
Yes.
And Vice President Zunis?
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Congratulations. All right. Let's see. Item number three, please.
Item three, fiscal year 2025-26 and 2026-27 budget priorities. This is a discussion and action item. The Commission will review and may take action on the Office of Small Business and Small Business Commission strategic priorities for fiscal year 25-26 and 26-27. I can put it up on the board.
All right. Well, Carrie is bringing up the document here. I'll just kick this item off. Per our city's admin code, we are responsible for holding two public hearings by a certain date in February to talk about the budget. This is our second hearing. Unfortunately, at this point in time, though, although there is the date that is set in the admin code, we really don't have a whole lot else to share. But what I will share, since there has been a change of administration since our first hearing, is relay to all of you the directive from the mayor's office, which has really emphasized fiscal discipline in light of a looming budget deficit over the next two fiscal years, spanning I think one of the largest deficits that we have seen in recent times. And so when Mayor Breed was still in office, there was a directive given to all city departments that we needed to, over the next 2 years, reduce our general fund support by 15% in each year. So Mayor Lurie has indicated to all the department heads that that will continue. So that is the exercise that we are currently undergoing. It is still in progress, where we do all the departments need to identify, again, a reduction in general fund support by 15% in each year over the next 2 years. In addition to that, you probably heard in the news as well that Mayor Lurie has put in place a hiring freeze. And so that took effect immediately. And so all the departments are trying to figure out how to continue to offer either same or improved level of service while living under this hiring freeze for this moment. So those are the two updates given the change in transition of administration. You know, Office of Small Business, just as a reminder, although we are a department, we are also a division within the budget of the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. So we're a bit unique in that way. We're both a department and a division. And so because of that, I will be working very closely and have been and will continue to with our director of OEWD, Sarah Dennis Phillips, and the rest of the divisions that touch upon small business services and resources to figure out how it is that we can holistically, again, still offer either same or improved service. How can we be more efficient at what we do, given fewer resources funding-wise as well as potentially personnel-wise? So those are the updates. And then also wanted to, as you can see on the screen here, you can see some updated, it's really the same, essentially, in terms of our strategic goals and priorities from the commission that we've applied towards fiscal year 25-26 and 26-27. And I wanted to check in with the commission to see if there's anything from this last fiscal year that you feel needs to be changed or edited, amended in any way. If you believe so, this would be the opportunity to share with the commission and have an open discussion about what you might want to see different or the same. So wanted to give the commissioners that opportunity and, of course, available to answer any questions.
I'll just start the conversation. I don't think I have any particular changes, but I do see that, like, some of the priorities maybe I might have some new ideas on, like, kind of how to get to those priorities, you know. And I also feel like with the strategic goals, I think all three of those are very important, but I'm starting to see some kind of, I'd like to see kind of some delineation in terms of, like, you know, when people have conversations about small businesses, I think we tend to lump kind of small business priorities into one priority, and that's really not the case. There's attracting new small businesses. That's a different, I mean, I see that they're separated in terms of strategic goals, but attracting new small businesses, like, that is a whole different that's a whole different subject than how to support existing small businesses and retaining small businesses. And then even growing small businesses is a whole nother thing. So I kind of feel like right now, we kind of, like, make small business almost, like, too small in a way, like, where we kind of just talk about, you know, one or two measures that will help support small businesses. But what I'm seeing in my communities on the ground is that there are still people who need help with, you know, all different types of things because of the stage in which they're at with their small business. Does that kind of make sense for that? I kind of just feel like, and that doesn't necessarily have to be reflected in the goals and priorities. Those are just kind of thoughts that I had in terms of, like, how to think about small business.
Like, all of these seem to be titles of, I see what you're saying. So when we're looking at the priority, like, when we're looking at the strategic goals, support small business retention and growth, attract new small business by making this is the strategic goals, but are you looking for, like, Are we trying to, like, have the plan for these subjects? Is that what you're referring to? Or trying, because I understand what you're saying in the sense of all of these have different directions that they go. You can't put them all under just one title. Okay, you know, these are just the goals, because each one of them are different. I want you to elaborate a little bit on what the expectation would be based on those categories. Mm-hmm. Is it to have more definition of what these goals, what it would take for these things to take place? Or are you just saying, in general, looking at the priorities, these priorities don't align with the goals?
I feel like the document itself is good for me. Like, I think that it's reflective of, like, how I kind of see, like, in terms of our goals and our priorities. So I don't really have a critique of the document itself. I think mine is just, my comment is really more on, I think as
we use this document as a guiding principle, right? Or as a guiding, as our guidepost, right? Like that we not lump all those goals together. They are separate right now, but I just want to be clear that, like, because I think for us, we understand that because we talk to small business all the time and we are in small business, but I don't know if, like, general public understands. Like, if you've never run a small business before, you don't understand that, like, the things that are important to you on day one are very different than the things that are important to you 113 years down the line, you know, or actually they might be similar at that point, but like 5 years down the line, it feels different. And so I guess the things that are important in terms of economic vibrancy are going to be different for somebody who's starting and versus somebody who's several years been in the neighborhood. So certain things I just kind of wanted to note as we start to use this as a guiding document. And that's less so for our commission because we're in it, but more so for the people who may be listening or be part of making legislation based off of what they believe our small business priorities are. Does that make sense? Does that kind of help?
If okay, just to make sure I'm hearing this correctly, are you saying that in terms of the kind of like, so these are our strategic goals, priorities, but then we also have kind of like our work plan, how mm-hmm. we execute, how we implement some of those ideas. You want to make sure that they are kind of separated into the appropriate bucket based on business stage.
I think so. Based on business stage and other, other mm-hmm. things that might, I guess my goal is that, okay, like right now I see that there are a lot of small businesses who need help. For whatever reason, right? There are a lot of people who have cited, that they feel like they need assistance. And I think there are a lot of people who have ideas as to like how we can help, right? There's like, and there's kind of this like, okay, well, we got rid of all these permit fees, so everything should be okay. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the case for somebody who isn't applying for a permit, So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, I think as a commission, I like that we have a variety of, several goals. I like that we have a list of priorities. And I guess I just want to highlight that all of these things are important all at the same time because our constituents are in different places all the time. Like they're just not a single type of small business. And so for the people that we are giving consult to or that we're providing, for the legislation that we're providing oversight for, to know that there isn't necessarily a silver bullet, but there are all these different people that, even though we are able to do one thing, there might be other things, and that's why we still have businesses who need help. And so I guess I don't know if that's makes any more sense. Vice President DeZunis.
Yeah, thank you, President Healy, for starting this dialogue. I think while we have to vote on this as, for in the record, and we worked hard to develop this and had some good conversations over it last year and the year before, I think maybe we make an internal document for us and we can continue this conversation too in the next agenda item. I think we can do bullet points under each of these priorities that are relevant to the demographics we work with and the actual tangible issues that we want to work on because we've been in response mode for a minute. We haven't as a commission really come up with bottom up policy suggestions. I mean, our staff and our director have been going really hard on that and working with other departments and electeds on policy. And so I think our commission has been represented well in that priority. But I think we're still dealing with a lot of equity issues that we haven't been able to codify into to maybe the mitigation and you know, the policy areas that we wanted to. I think that there's still a lot of work that we can, like a work plan like you alluded to, that we can develop for us as a commission and encourage, you know, our base to come forward with suggestions for those different working items and see what we can move to towards a tangible result. And I'm for that conversation if you want to continue it, President Huey.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornett.
So I think everything on the presentation is good and it checks out. I just want to make a point just for us to keep in mind that when it comes to, I understand what you're saying, like, you know, trying to meet them where they're at, because 1 year versus 5 years versus 10 years, your needs are going to be very different to continue to thrive. So making sure those tools are there, but also to, with data and research and developing these tools, let's not forget too that every business is very different. So it's kind of like a microclimate. So really like understanding trends in different markets for whether it's a salon or this type of restaurant or experiential retail or types of hotels. If things are going to be looking like for San Francisco more like entertainment based, with a little bit of like a more boutique approaches, just kind of keeping, you know, that in mind for what trends are looking like, and also creating the tools that would fit best for the city.
Commissioner Benitez.
Hello. I think that the document is pretty straightforward. From a tactical perspective, and this is just me kind of coming back from my old corporate world, but in terms of strategic goals, being able to show, like, from the priorities, where do they fall under? Maybe some of them might overlap. Some of them might be very specific to that, if that's the way it was meant to be as well. And I think the stretch goal eventually would be, you know, are there quantified numbers that you would want to see to make this goal be met? I'm just kind of just throwing this out there, but maybe that's a very long-term kind of stretch goal from that. But I agree with the other two commissioners as well, that and just in terms of maybe having a constituent-facing document versus a internal document that we can speak to, I think, you know, would be great. And then just really understanding, yeah, there's different categories of business, and, you know, it's going to be very, you know, a retail will be very different from a hospitality kind of thing. But, you know, that's very long-term overarching. But overall, I think, you know, the points are there, and just, you know, how you can easily, you know, attach the priorities to the goals, I think would also just be one way to show how you can continue to support and grow fiscally year by year.
I mean, I think for sure I'm in agreement with the document. I'm ready for people to be really excited about starting a new business in San Francisco. So, any other commissioner comments or questions on this? Is there anything else, Director Tang? Like, so this is a action item. To adopt the...
There's a draft resolution that formally adopts this document. Okay. So the motion would be on the resolution.
Okay. So would anybody like to make a motion to adopt... Oh, actually, you know what? Public comment. Is there anybody here who would like to give public comment on this item? No pressure.
Sorry, hang on. Go ahead, sorry.
Hello. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Kali. I am here on behalf of a 501c3 based here in San Francisco known as Glecha, We primarily assist many small businesses in San Francisco, from all the way from the formation to making sure that they have longevity within their business, permits, licenses, getting the locations, you know. It really is very vast. I think that in terms of supporting small businesses in San Francisco on the ground floor, we see businesses day in, day out, like a lot of the commissioner says. It's a wide variety of issues that we see, similar to what Commissioner Cornett said. There are many different types of businesses, like you mentioned, salons and restaurants, that all have different requirements and processes. I just want to comment that while there are some many differences, a lot of similarities do lie in the information gathering stage for the small businesses. You know, a lot of the ones that we work with, while they may be very savvy in their own field, it's really in the compliances and mostly a lot of the taxes that trip up the small businesses. Those two things are primarily, you know, someone's once referred to it as like the Achilles heel of small businesses. So I think that while, you know, it is mostly an idea, but for the Office of Small Business to consider that, that while many businesses do thrive doing the business on the back end, that is really what trips up a lot of the businesses and ultimately can force them into closure, not understanding the compliances and regulations, whether it be a local level, a state level, and, you know, recently a federal level, that ultimately can make or break a business. So I just wanted that to be noted, and, you know, thank you for the time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to assume there is no other public comment. Seeing no public comment, commissioners, anybody want to make a motion? I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the resolution to adopt the
priorities.
I'll second that motion.
Motion by President Huey, seconded by Commissioner Benitez. Commissioner Benitez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cornett?
Yes.
Commissioner Dickerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Herbert's absent. President Huey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena?
Yes.
And Vice President Zozunas?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Let's see. I forgot to thank you guys for putting everything together. Thank you. And next item, please.
Item 4, approval of draft meeting minutes. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and take action to approve the December 9th, 2024 draft meeting minutes.
Does somebody want to make a motion to?
I move to approve.
Okay, perfect.
Take public comment.
I'll second.
First.
Oh, do we need to do public comment? Yeah. Would anybody like to make public comment on the draft meeting minutes? Seeing no public comment is closed. And would somebody like to make a motion?
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Motion by Commissioner Dickerson, seconded by Vice President Zozunas. Commissioner Benitez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cornett?
Yes.
Commissioner Dickerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts absent. President Huey.
You know, I was going to ask, can I get to vote even though I wasn't
here? If
you
reviewed them, you can vote on them.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena.
Yes.
And Vice President Zozunas.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Great. Next item, please.
Item 5, general public comment. This is a discussion item allowing members of the public to comment on matters that are within the Small Business Commission's jurisdiction but not on today's calendar, and suggest new agenda items for the Commission's future consideration.
Anybody like to make public comment? All right. Seeing no public comment is closed. Next item, please.
Item 6, Director's Report. This is a discussion item. This is an update and report on the Office of Small Business, programs, policy, and legislative matters, announcements from the mayor, and announcements regarding small business activities.
Thank you.
All right. So I am excited to share with you all today that starting next Monday, our office is finally going to be able to add a new commercial leasing advisor to our office. So that brings a total to two people in our office who can help people with leasing. And I think as Callie mentioned during public comment, there are some underlying issues that transcend sectors and business stage. And that is, especially for many small businesses who do not own the space that they're in, is that they are subject to a lot of the challenges that may come from a lease agreement. And so what we have been able to do through our amazing commercial leasing specialist, where we only had one person so far, is empower small business owners to really understand, one, what they can negotiate. Sometimes you see something that's presented to you as a draft lease, and you think, that's what I have to agree to. But actually, there might be room for further negotiation. And I think that once we empower business owners to understand what's in their lease and hopefully sign one that's sustainable, we are both preventing vacancies from happening and also allowing these business owners to stay in their spaces longer. So in fiscal year 23-24, the first full fiscal year where we had this position, our commercial leasing specialist, Iris, worked on over 200 cases. That's actually a lot more transactions than just 200 because there's a lot of back and forth or potential variety of different lease drafts that she reviewed. And it resulted in approximately 40 signed leases. So I think it was a really great investment. And fortunately, that was recognized, and so we were able to add one more because we found the service to be so valuable that we couldn't keep up with just one person. So again, we're very excited to welcome this person on Monday, and once they're on board, I'm very excited to introduce you to this person as well. So that's good news, and it was a buzzer beater before the hiring freeze. So we're very happy we got that in at the last minute there. And then other than that, I just want to thank those of you who attended some of the trainings with regards to the new ethics regulations that came into place. If you have any questions or weren't able to attend some of the scheduled trainings, please reach out to me or Carrie, and we're happy to set those up for you because we know the material is very dense and there's a lot of rules and a lot of exceptions. So and everything is case specific. So if there's anything that comes up, any questions, or again, you want to go through the training, just let us know. And I think that is it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Director. Any questions from commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Ortiz.
I want to definitely give Iris her flowers. I mean, besides those 40, like, people don't understand, property owners try to dump, like, you know, if there's a thunderstorm, you got to pay for it. You know, like, just crazy stuff. Like, there's alligators coming out the pipes, you got to pay for it. Like, the prevention of cost that she's provided, you can't quantify that. Like you said, sustainable. And then the leases that we didn't sign, so you're just counting the ones that we did sign. But the ridiculousness that we told our business owners that no, you know, like just that in the prevention is another unquantifiable, you know, matrix that we can't even quantify. But you prevent a small business owner from wasting their life savings on something that is not sustainable. I've read leases where, like, you have to have open every single day except Thanksgiving, right? Like, and just the prevention of that, because that's unsustainable. That'll break the lease on the clause. So, yeah, Iris, she needs her flowers. Like, mm-hmm. So. Shout out if you're watching, you know, the millions and the millions that watch the Office of Small Business Commission, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And no pun, right? So, but thank you. Thank you. Seriously, like, that is pound for pound the best value. Like, talking what you said, Kelly, like, across the boards, like, people don't read leases. And sometimes you get stuck with a really bad lease that already puts you behind before day one. Mm.
No, go ahead.
Thank you. It was time for me to renew my lease, and I was reading over the lease, and I know a little bit. I was reading over the lease, and I went 10% a year increase. I was like, I did, for some reason, I don't know why. I mean, when I first negotiated the lease, it was no big deal because they had given me like a year free. And then after that, you know, it was, I mean, it was way below market because we had so much work to do to the building. So I didn't trip off of it. But when it was time to renew after the fifth year, I looked at that and I thought, 10%? Are you, after all the work we didn't put in this building and you want 10% increase a year? I went back, I said, hey, let's talk about this. So we, you know, after, you know, going and back and forth negotiating, they eventually dropped it by 5%, which for a small business, that was huge, you know. But just knowing that you have, you know, you have leverage to negotiate, you know, where you feel like you're trapped because, oh, please let me use your building so that I can. No, you have some rights and you have some bargaining, you know, tools. So just to have that. But I'm pro, come on, small businesses, let's start owning our buildings. So that's the next step that I'm going for. I know for me and everyone that I know that has an opportunity, let's start owning. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Director Tang, I am curious whether with so many leases read and like leases negotiated, are we recording or seeing patterns or data that we can use to kind of understand like the leasing environment? Like some of these things where, you know, like you said, what can I ask for? I mean, not to necessarily like make public, but within the office to understand, you know, what are some of the trends? Where are some of the areas that, you know, we can kind of also say to certain groups, like, these are some of the things that we've noticed. And even letting property owners know that, because property owners, many of them are small businesses themselves, right? They're not all big corporations. I think they oftentimes are the ones who have the ability to kind of make, you know, maybe better lease structures or change things because they might own one or two buildings and just want that space leased. Like, is this information that we can kind of share with them for best practice?
Yeah, actually, in this year, we have as part of our goals for 2025, especially with another staff coming on board, some recorded videos that give some general information about trends or things to look out for, things you can negotiate, as well as some participation in live webinars. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do more of that. As you can imagine, with just one staff, it was hard. Like, the priority was on the individual kind of situation and individual business lease review. And now with a little bit more capacity, we're trying to expand that more broadly so that people have some general knowledge. And then if they need that additional support, they can, of course, come for one-on-one help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you're curious about anything else, we're happy to connect you with Iris on that. But we can also share information about when these webinars are either launched, a recorded video or live.
Okay, that'd be great.
And can I also add, OEWD has like a parallel program with two other brokers, like on the side, specifically to the Mission and Outer Mission. Again, the same thing like what Iris has done, like signing leases, negotiating leases, preventing evictions, like just this, like pound for pound, the value in these programs is like, it's phenomenal, you know. And to your point, what we always tell small businesses, the thicker the lease, the worse for you.
I had a quick question, Director. Do you feel like, I know we've brought up small property owners as kind of also a subset of small businesses in this city. Do you feel like we have the opportunity with more capacity in this area to try to engage small property owners in this conversation, kind of?
Actually, we did. So Iris and I actually went out and contacted the Small Property Owners Institute of San Francisco. We went to their general meeting. We've offered our services to also kind of help them fill any vacancies that they have, and that we are here to offer support to kind of make that process go faster, because I think a lot of them, they would like to see their spaces filled more quickly. So we went out there. I'm not sure, you know, how much it led to, you know, additional engagement, but we've tried and we'll continue to try every year.
Yeah, that relationship I think is so important, to have a landlord, your property owner, who's like supportive of what you do. That like makes a huge difference for your, you know, for your business. So yeah, anything that we can do to help with that.
I would recommend, like, there's a group of attorneys for the small business owners. There's not too many regarding landlord, you know, property ownership. And it's them, they're the gatekeepers. A lot of these properties are in trusts or, you know, families, you know, generational. And unfortunately, you know, the stigma in San Francisco, like, the laws are crazy and, you know, so they're super protective and they go overboard to protect. So I think maybe even discussing with certain attorneys, and they're not too many. There's about 10 in the city that protect most of the smaller landlords in the city, and just telling them, like, let's do something. Let's it's a new day. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And it's commercial. Like, there's no like tenant protections in the sense of besides signing the lease. So it's not like rent control. Mm-hmm.
Great. Any other comments or questions? No. Any public comments on director's report? Seeing no public comment, I think we can move on to the next item. Thank you very much, Director Tang.
Item 7, Commissioner Discussion and New Business. This is a discussion item. It allows President, Vice President, and Commissioners to report on recent small business activities, make announcements, and make inquiries of staff. Allows Commissioners to introduce new agenda items for future consideration by the Commission.
All right, I see that Commissioner Ortiz has an item.
Yeah, I have three items. First, I want to thank Mayor Lurie and his staff. They came out to the Outer Mission and did the commercial walkthrough with Supervisor Chen. So I appreciate that. We visited the last shoe repair. He's a cobbler. I think it's been around since 1925. So it's about 1926, because next year is 100 years. So he visited, he walked the corridor, and I appreciate that. And he was just outside, and I appreciate you, Mayor, for that. Two, we're working with Senator Scott Wiener regarding SB 295. That's regarding around street vendor retail, nothing to do with food retail. And I think we've worked with the Street Vendor Association, the various organizations in the Mission, and we've come to a good place where, like, it's beneficial. Because, again, street vending has never been an issue in our culture. It's criminal activity as fencing. So I don't want to conflate the two. So it gives city agencies a little bit of authority to help our street vendors not to be harassed by the criminal activity in the neighborhood. And then lastly, regarding our national climate regarding immigration, homeland security, ICE raids, and I've had several discussions with Director Tang regarding how can we assist our small businesses. Now, in my community, there's a lot of subject matter experts regarding immigration law, but for small business, it's three factors that have to intersect. It's immigration law, criminal law, and small business law, all at the federal level. So an example, in a restaurant, you have a public area, so immigration can come to that public area, even without a search warrant, as opposed to, you know, residential or to a private sector building where they could just close the door. And if you do have the warrant, then kick in the door, right? And please don't call me, because obviously this is why I'm asking, because we don't know the law. But we just want to ensure our small businesses are equipped with the right thing to do, right? If you're a small business owner, your manager, what do you do if somebody shows up? They're already inside your restaurant. What do you do? I don't want somebody getting an obstruction charge, aiding and abetting charge at a federal level. You know, that's 1 year off top. I did Fed time, so trust me, I get it. They don't play. We just want to make sure our small business owners have the facts. Protect the staff within legal confines. Like, nothing extraordinary, just comply with the law and protect your staff to the best of your ability within the confines of the law. And it's really complicated. Because then it trickles into HR issues, right? They could ask you for your I-9s, and you should be having your I-9s ready on file, right? Locked up. There's fire codes. You know, I've heard businesses like, we're going to close the door, but you can't. Because during business hours, you're supposed to keep the doors open, unlocked. That's a fire, you know? So we need help to, like, mesh those three legal aspects so we could just give our small businesses facts, not activism, not my ideas, not my thoughts, just what's the facts, what's black and white in the line. And we've been working that with Director Tang, people in the community. So, and any of my commissioners, if you have any resources, the GGRA, Lori Thomas, you know, we've been in contact with them. Because it's scary. It's scary because our small businesses, if they go in for one and the collateral damages, they take out your whole back of the crew. A restaurant, that you can't train a restaurant overnight, the whole back of the staff. That'll wipe you out in one shot. So it is a little scary for our small businesses, and they have the least resources. So if you catch a case, a Fed case, as a small business owner because you didn't know how to interact when this was happening, not only can it cost you financially, it could cost you your freedom. So, and I'm not trying to scare either, because like if it's not happening, I also don't want to like fear monger and all that, because that's another portion. We don't want to do that. We just want our people and our small businesses to know, black and white, what's the law.
Commissioner Cornett.
Do you think the city or the office can maybe, you know, with all these guidelines to educate the businesses at a more like immediate level, but also just sort of reach as many businesses as we can, maybe like airtime, like via like a sit down on the news or just whatever omni-channel that we can use to kind of just reach them and make sure everyone knows their rights at a faster rate? Is that something we could do?
Yeah, I think I'm sure that all the commissioners and many others have questions about this, and I'd like to discuss with you all in conjunction with the city attorney's office and our Office of Civic Engagement and Immigrant Affairs. And so just know that those two offices are resources, and so I'm happy to answer any specific questions or connect you with those offices so that we can get additional information. I know that interaction with any level of government is scary. Even people just pulling up health permit, probably, you know, that's frightening, let alone, you know, all the way at the federal level for other issues, right? So we are very cognizant of that, and we also want to make sure that, like Commissioner Ortiz-Cartena said, we don't want to cause alarm and fear as well if there are things not happening either. So I'm happy to connect with you all outside the commission meeting about that as well.
And can I just add, City Attorney Chu, he did come up, he was amazing. Like I said, like he came up with 5 samples of the various, like he's been ahead of it. It's just for our small businesses that have public areas, that's where the complexities of law get. But like they, community's been in front, OSEA, so many, like I don't want to diminish because they've been in front and they have been providing resources and guidance. It's just us always, you know, the small business community, we have complexities like that are unique to our community.
Vice President Zunas.
Thank you for bringing this up, Commissioner. I think we had an idea in the past, too, to do some kind of collab with the Immigrants' Rights Commission. They've been holding really important meetings on this topic and have garnered a lot of public attendance. So maybe that's a way that we can get it on, have a space for businesses to come and it be on televised. And we, you know, like perhaps that's an idea. I think that was, I forgot my other point, but thank you for bringing that up.
I'll also just share that I know there are public forums for those who are comfortable with coming to a public hearing, but for the majority, probably a public setting is not quite the most comfortable for this topic. So we will do our best to engage. And if you come across any businesses that have any either experiences directly or just questions, please do feel free to refer them to us, and we'll try to get the resources to them, the answers. Yeah.
Right, thank you. Any other commissioner reports? So one of the things that I wanted to, I guess, maybe check in on was kind of thinking about, you know, the coming year. And now that we have a new administration, we have a lot of new supervisors, just a lot of kind of renewed energy and a lot of meetings probably coming up for all of us commissioners as well with people in our communities. You know, I think oftentimes we're kind of asked to kind of be like, well, what are the things that we could do to help small businesses? And this may kind of like go back to similarly like the budget priorities and things like that. And so I wanted to kind of like make space, I think, in this portion of, I think I could just do it now, right? To just kind of ask, like, if there are some priorities, like, I like the way that, you know, you had like three items to kind of like share with us, but just so that we can all kind of be aware of one another's, you know, things on one another's radar, and kind of think about what are our priorities as we start to look at the year ahead, because there are so many different types of businesses, and I do really want for people to feel as if, you know, they're well supported by the city, and not always feeling like, well, that's what you expect from the city. You know, I think Director Tang and Carrie, you've been on so many merchant walks over the many years, really trying to work on touching everyone's business individually and learning about the neighborhoods and understanding what people are facing. And I kind of, you know, it's kind of like the answer is everything, but at the same time, like, what are some of the things that we can really make change on? Because I feel like there's an appetite for sure, but I think we have the knowledge of what it really feels like to have a business. So I can put it out there, and then we can like talk about it another time. We don't need to come up with the ideas right now, but I thought instead of me being the holder of like information, like we can kind of have some time for us to like talk about those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we still have some like agenda item. Do we still have agenda items from previous meetings and things? I mean, I know we've kind of like talked about certain things, but
like our new business list.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's so many things that are that we can still work on. So
yeah, we can resurface things that people have flagged in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you want to make this a formal agenda item for a future meeting, potentially, or just a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. And with the, just so I'm clear, the, like, much of the discussion would be sort of individually in each of your communities, like what you're experiencing. And
yeah.
Seeing?
It doesn't have to be like, I don't think we're necessarily looking for, or at least for me, I don't think there is a singular like silver bullet that's going right. to like, yeah. you know, change everything for everyone. But I think if we could get an understanding of like what are some of the priorities in the businesses that we meet and that we talk to, that might be helpful, because I think as I'm having conversations with people, you know, I think it kind of changes, right? Like what certain priorities are. And I want to know from our legislators too, like what are their priorities and how do those align with like what we can do with communities? Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to be able to give good consult, I have to kind of understand like
where we're all coming from. So I kind of feel like we, starting with a good listening session in some ways might give us some ideas of like where we really align and like, and what we can do. Because I feel like having, I feel like everybody right now is saying public safety and small business are our top priorities, which I understand are our top priorities, but those are both very broad topics and they are, and they are aligned with each other. You know, I think many of our small businesses, like I always think small businesses are an interesting kind of group because you kind of don't ever hear from us unless there's like a problem. Like we are really self-sustaining. We are not seeking grants. We are not seeking any sort of like, I mean, maybe now people are seeking VC funding, right? But like, I think for the most part, we kind of like wake up every day and know that you're going to hustle all day long until you go to bed. And we're not, we just don't even have a lot of capacity in our day to think a lot about like all these other things that are happening. Like, I think it's amazing that we have so many of us sitting here right now spending, you know, 3 hours to talk about, you know, these things. Like, this is not a common occurrence for small business owners. But I think what are the things that the city can do in its capacity to really make some movement? And I think a lot of that has been done. I think through, you know, the easing of many permits, changing kind of like the format of how we do outreach, I think that has been huge. Just being able to go into businesses individually and talk to people and have case managers for them to talk to at the permit center. Like, so many strides have already been made. So I'm kind of curious as to, well, what are some of the other things that we can do that will actually make an impact on a small business owner's life? And that's where I think I also think about, you know, of course, it's a diverse community. So everyone's going to have different ideas.
Madam President, first, like, a Vanilla Ice first came in, like, yo, if we have a problem, I'll solve it. That's us. Like, I don't know, that's the first thing that popped in my head, straight Vanilla Ice. But, like, I'm super excited. Like, you know, Supervisor Chen, Supervisor Fielder, you know, their fresh perspective, and they're eager. And I think we should just invite them because, like, they're fresh, you know, and they're coming in. And they have great ideas. Like, I've met them both, and they're like, you know, let's do this, and let's take advantage of that. Because even us sometimes, you know, as small business owners, we're always used to like, oh, the city's not going to help us, or, you know, some, you know, we get into our thing, and we got to figure it out. It's always we got to figure it out, right? And I think, you know, I don't want to sound naive, but I think it's a new day, and I'm optimistic with new administration at the top, a lot of local supervisors, and let's ride that wave. You know what I mean? This is the time. New ideas, fresh ideas, you know, new set of eyes. So I like what you were saying.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think we should definitely do some reach outs as a commission or introductions or find ways to meet the new supervisor and new administration staff, like we had a little today, mm-hmm. Meet and greet. More of those sound great once we have our priorities and some routes we want to take them. I think that would be make a lot of sense. I guess something that just comes to there's, you know, comes to my head as we talk about different small business sectors facing distinct issues, and also different neighborhoods facing distinct issues, and how the city addresses different neighborhoods and different sectors differently too. And as much as that is going to happen to a degree because of the different variables at play, I think that we have kind of an unspoken or rarely spoken reality that is some businesses feel like they get it worse than others, or some demographics feel like they get it worse than others. Some neighborhoods feel like they get the enforcement or the more public safety support or less public safety support, and how we can try to feel like build that camaraderie around in our small business space, so that we can better, you know, show them the good sides of what the city has to offer, and that there is equal access, but also where we can identify where there can be improvements. You know, I think a lot about, you know, business, like in the mission, for example, with the Department of Emergency Services and DPW coming to merchant groups there and saying, hey, look, we want to do a culturally appropriate enforcement on vendors. Can you be involved in this? Whereas, you know, we see in the Tenderloin a different type of approach with dealing with business malpractice, different than what's done in the Excelsior, you know, and I feel like we need to make sure business communities, and I think one of our priorities is also to help the associations, right? So how can we support less funded, less resourced business communities to organize themselves to be partners to the city and help bridge some of that? I mean, we have groups like SF New Deal and, you know, all these well-resourced organizations that could help incubate some of these more struggling sectors or neighborhoods, or, you know, like we can be more deliberate, I think, in how we support the small business ecosystem to lead to more equity, because I do feel like right now there's a lot of disproportionate enforcement going on in our city when it comes to small businesses. Like I've said before, you know, we have now downtown is getting a lot of liberties, whereas other neighborhoods are getting their liberties taken. So small businesses are not having, you know, an equal experience in this city. And I think we need to recognize where maybe we can play a role in that. Yeah.
So do we decide later on if how we agendize this or like how we move forward with it?
I mean, it could, I think it will defer to you. You know, as the commission president, you could either have a discussion here in the commission report outs, or you can have a whole separate agenda item or discussion item.
Okay. Madam President, if we could at least recommend just to invite the newly appointed elected supervisors, just like a meet and greet here, like
elected and appointed,
and our mayor.
Can we add that as an
invitation to the supervisors?
Uh huh.
Okay.
And the mayor.
Okay.
Separately.
I also should say I think we're probably happy to connect people with those offices if you think like a one-on-one conversation or just maybe a couple commissioners. Obviously you can't all meet with somebody in private at the same time, but I think we're happy to facilitate like smaller conversations if you think those would be more productive than in a public setting as well. Just something to put on the table.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I agree with that. Yes.
I also have a question, I guess. So, you know, some of the things that affect small businesses are not able to be changed on a city or county level. When things are the way they are because of, you know, the state or federal kind of legislation, what mechanisms do we have as, like, how do we fit into that puzzle as a commission?
So, in the mayor's office, there is a person who coordinates federal and state policy and advocacy. So we do act as one city family in terms of the positions that we would take on certain policies. And so we would need to have a conversation with them. If you want to have a discussion amongst commissioners, again, whether formally or informally, again, without violating any of the Brown Act rules, You know, certainly that's possible for us to really flesh out in greater detail what it is that we would be asking for in terms of advocacy at the state or federal level.
Okay.
Can I add to that, like, just my experience with SB 295, the mayor's office, senator states, it's been an amazing experience. A lot of outreach, just, it's great. Like, the mechanisms there, I think sometimes we just don't use the resource, I think. Like, we don't know that we have access to that, and it's powerful, and it's very collaborative. Mm-hmm.
So as individual businesses, you can, I mean, you're...
Oh, you're asking us for individual businesses.
No, I apologize. No, I mean, I think that's how you're interacting with Senator Wiener.
It's a coalition, you know. It's a very eclectic bunch of people. We have nonprofits. We have supervisors, the mayor's office, obviously Senator Scott Wiener, and you know, just getting a lot of people in the room in this particular issue, because it was a little bit more complex and nuanced and hella layers to it. But what I'm just trying to get at is that it's there. Like, the mechanism is there, and the experience has been great. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm not even used to it at mm-hmm. the state level, so it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Cool. I think that's all that I have. Does any other commissioner? Yes.
This is for the last item, the adjournment. If I could request that we do a memorandum of Rosa Lima. She was the director at Beacon. We just went to her funeral today. Mission mom, mission mentor. Like, the whole neighborhood was out there today. And rest in peace. And we're going to miss you. And I appreciate all the work you and your family has done. Like, could do that at closing. Thank you.
All right. Any other new items? You know what? I wanted to just acknowledge that it is the Lunar New Year coming up. So we just had our flower market in Chinatown. You know, it's been an incredible experience being in Chinatown over the past few months. And, you know, Mayor Lori's inauguration celebration, that was crazy. Those photos are nuts. And, you know, I think I definitely agree with Commissioner Ortiz about how I think a lot of people feel very excited and, like, a sense of renewed energy for this upcoming year. And so I think, you know, this Lunar New Year is going to be, this year is the year of the snake. And so, you know, I don't know what that means for everybody, but everybody will tell you something different is what I've learned. So I'm not going to try to tell you what that means, but, you know, I'm excited for the celebrations, but, you know, I encourage everybody to celebrate the new year in some way, because, I mean, we all can, and, like, it's mostly just getting together with people that you care for, and, like, and having a meal together really is, like, a really simple way to celebrate. And so, yeah, I wish everybody a happy new year, and there's probably many other things that I'm forgetting, but...
And I'll just throw one more in here. We want to wish our Commissioner Rachel Herbert a happy birthday today.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday. So, Vice President.
Sorry, I forgot one announcement, which also thank you to the Office of Small Business Newsletter for sending out the opening of a refrigerant replacement program. Very crucial, because most of our small businesses are not going to be compliant in a state, speaking of state law, in 5 years, because of the refrigerators that most people have are you know, not going to be compliant with airborne chemical laws that are going to be in place. So please subscribe to our Office of Small Businesses letters for those kind of opportunities, the small businesses that can potentially get help to replace their refrigeration.
I do encourage everybody to read the Office of Small Business newsletter. That is really full of really good information. And, I mean, a lot of information that people do not know about. So thank you.
I think we have to take public comment on the commissioner items.
Okay. Any public comment on commissioner's discussion and new business? Seeing no public comment, public comment is closed. And today we will be adjourning our meeting in honor of Rosalima of the Mission Beacon. And thank you. Thank you. Today's meeting is adjourned. Do I need to do anything? Okay. Until I do this.